For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So love is of key importance. It's the foundation of the Christian faith, because God is love. So it's the foundation, and it's the principal thing in the Christian faith. And everything else is built upon the love of God. So we can have all these things the Bible is speaking to about all the gifts of the Spirit and so on. But if there's no love there, then it's pointless. It's the Bible says we like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And I would picture that as, you know, you've just got up in the morning, you haven't had a very good night's sleep, your head's a bit, you've got a bit of a headache and you're not feeling, you know, it takes good to take a while to wake up, and then somebody starts to blow a trumpet in your ear that's out of tune, and then starts clanging a cymbal in your ear. Would you like that? Well, that's what it's like when people start to minister from their own heart, not out of the love of God. You meet them on the internet, you know, sounding brass, clanging cymbal, the nasty spirits. They say they're moving in tongues, I believe they're demonic tongues. They say they prophesy, and it's prophecy from their own heart, prophecies from devils. They say they speak from God, but they speak from another spirit. Sounding brass or a clanging cymbal, there's no place in the kingdom of God. The Bible says that we've got to speak the truth in love. And you know, people, we know about the word love. Love includes discipline. And sometimes the truth hurts. And so when we speak the truth, people get hurt sometimes because they're offended because of pride. And then they retaliate and say, you're not loving. And they start to judge you. Who's right? Who's right? And so we sometimes feel condemned. We feel, oh, I'm not very loving. It's an accusation, you see. Because the Bible says, speak the truth in love. And God, out of his love, will tell us the truth. To help us, to keep us on track, and to pull us up when we need pulling up, to discipline us, to correct us, to encourage us, to bless us, and to give us all the things that are contained in his word, the gifts of the Spirit and everything, and say, you can have these, but you need to operate them through the love of God and be truthful. Because love and truth go together. And truth without love is a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And love without truth dissipates, goes away, it can't last, because it has to be based on truth. Otherwise, we start to then become full of our own idea what love is, and then we start to judge others and say, you're not loving for telling the truth. We've become perverts. Perverts, yes? Because we've drifted off track. And we've got into that emotional, sentimental, worldly love that's not based on truth. And we've got a perverted idea of what love is. And this world is full of it. The church is full of it. But truth and love work together. We can't have one without the other. They must go together, hand in hand. And so, having seen all this, what is in this scripture, wonderful passage in the Bible, this one. It's poetic. It's absolutely poetic. I mean, just read it. Look at verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. That's poetry. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And so we must have love before we can proceed any further with this teaching. Because without it, let's not bother. And so this work is a prophetic ministry. And that means it's a ministry that God is going to reveal mysteries through. Because that's what prophecy is. When you have the prophetic anointing upon your life, then God reveals mysteries, because it says so in the word here. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. So if you've got a prophetic anointing on your life, then God will reveal mysteries to you that you won't be revealing to other people. And there's a responsibility that goes with this prophetic anointing. And it's one of obedience. It's one of obedient discipleship. And it's one where we depend upon the Lord, no matter how hard or tough the going gets, whether it's smooth or rough, the road. We depend upon him and we abide in him daily through reading of the word and prayer. We have our quiet time, because it's from that, what springs from that is the revelation, the living waters, the springs of mystery that come. When you spend time with God and you've got a prophetic anointing as well, then you can be sure that mysteries will be revealed to you. And it starts to flow from you like a river. You know, and it's not a problem to put messages together or teachings together or stuff for the internet. It flows through you. And when you start, the Holy Spirit starts to pour revelations through you, unfolding mysteries about nations, about world events, people's lives, situations. Because this is who reveals the mysteries to us? The Holy Spirit of God, through the gifts of the Spirit. Mysteries are revealed through the word of wisdom. That's to show you how God would do things into the plan and purposes of God. And then through a word of knowledge is to reveal things that you couldn't know naturally speaking. It's a spiritual gift, and it's a part of the knowledge of God. He knows everything. So he's revealing to you something. Now it could be about a person or a place or a hidden mystery about the word of God. And this is what I'm talking about today. The hidden mysteries of the word of God. Because I'm not a man of the letter, and neither should we be a people of the letter. The letter, the Bible says, kills, but the Spirit gives life. So this word to the people that are unsaved is a letter. To the people in the Old Testament, the Jews and the Pharisees and the scribes who weren't born again, it's become a letter. To a Messianic Jew, it is Spirit. To a born-again Christian, it is Spirit. And that's the way we should see the Bible, as a spiritual book. And that means if it is a spiritual book, it is a supernatural book and a book of miracles. It's a miracle book. It means that it's an infinite book that you could never exhaust. We buy these Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, whatever. And they're big books. And when they were speaking about Jesus, he said even if all the books in the world couldn't contain everything about Jesus Christ, and that's a proven fact. Because ever since that was written, they've written books about them. They've either been on scrolls, papyrus, whatever, and books and letters and writings and teachings. It's all out on the internet. And the world is full of books, and it continues and will continue forever, writing about the things Jesus Christ did. It's an ever-ending revelation. And this Bible, you could never exhaust it. Because if it was a letter, then it begins in Genesis and ends in the book of Revelation. That's it, we've read the letter. We've read the contents of the page. But if it is a spiritual book, you can read it over and over and over again, the same passage, and every time you read it, something fresh comes from it. Now, we need, the important thing about us as people is this. We are standing here in the flesh today, but the real me is spirit. I am a spirit. Hallelujah, said That's spooky. I'm looking at a spirit now. No, you're looking at a body. But I am a spirit who possesses a soul, mind, intellect, emotions, who lives in a body. That's right. And so the most important part of our being is to have our spirits right with God. Hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus Christ has been given to keep us purified and cleansed in our spirit. Purifying our spirits daily in the blood of Jesus Christ. Because if our spirits are right with God, yes, we're born again by the Spirit of God. Now we've got two spirits. We've got the human spirit and the Holy Spirit who's come to take up residence in our born again spirit. Hallelujah. And so where at one time we had one spirit and it was a dead spirit, we have two live spirits now. But they're intertwined, they're one. Our spirit is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and so is our body. But it starts in the spirit, and it starts to move through your mind, the renewing of the mind. And through your body, it quickens our flesh. And so we should all be today healthy people if our spirits are right with God. Yes? No? Yes, we should be if we get the revelation of it. And some people can walk in that power. That's an incredible thing. But let's get down to the important thing. Now, if we are body-willed people or soulish people, the word is a letter to us. And we don't get the mysteries that are revealed from the Spirit of God. But if we are people that are born again of the Spirit, we have the Spirit of God in us, and we're led by the Spirit, then those mysteries are ours for the taking. And they are revealed to us through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. He's not apart from us. He's not in another place, and he comes just when we call down the power of God. Of course we do. But the Bible says, if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, yes. And if you don't have his Spirit in you, not his. So if his Spirit is in us, then just stop for a while and think about that. Pause, Selah, hallelujah. Meditate upon it and praise the Lord that you have God in you. And here's the God, yes, because one of his titles is the Spirit of Revelation. Yes, all prophets and prophetic ministries need to realize that the Holy Spirit is a spirit of revelation. The whole Bible to a born-again person is a revelation. It's a gift from God to man. He brought it down, inspired the prophets to write it. It's a miracle book. It's a gift of revelation from beginning to end. And that's why we get excited about it. Look at it. A big, thick book full of pages, full of miracles and mysteries to be revealed to the spiritual man. But to the body, the soulish man, it's just a letter. To the scribes and Pharisees, it was a letter. To many dogmatic, non-loving people who go to church today who think they know it all, it's just a letter. They go by the letter of the law. It's a law. It's a set of rules and regulations. It's not a set of principles taught by the Spirit of God through the love and truth of God. It's different. There's a difference between the law of the letter and the principles of the teachings of the Word of God that don't condemn us and smash us down. They're there to guide us, instruct us, and encourage us and build us up. Hallelujah. And though I have the gift of prophecy, well, thank you, God, we have the gift of prophecy. And understand all mysteries. Yes, it's a continual revelation, but once you get into the flow, hallelujah. We had it on Monday night. There was a damn wall there, and it started to shatter, and the power of God came. It's the flow of the power of the Holy Spirit, the mysteries of God revealed. Now, when there's a wall in front of you, you don't see anything behind the wall, but when the wall comes down, the mysteries of God revealed. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries, that's what the gift of prophecy is. What an awesome gift. And you can read about all the gifts of the Spirit, but what does he say? At the end of this chapter, and we begin in 1 Corinthians 14:1, after speaking about love, he goes straight into this gift of prophecy. Pursue love, he said, and desire spiritual gifts, but especially the gift that you may prophesy. Why? Because mysteries are revealed. Mysteries revealed help the church. Give the church guidance. And so we need guidance, don't we? And we have the prophetic anointing of God upon us. We've got the gift of prophecy. The prophetic ministry we are. So we can expect mysteries to be revealed and all knowledge to be given to us. Hallelujah. And then it talks about all faith to remove mountains. Well, faith works with it. Knowledge revealed, mysteries revealed, combined with knowledge, right? So mysteries revealed is obviously knowledge. Knowledge of something, a word of knowledge. Word of knowledge. So praise the Lord. You see, a lot of people read this and they think, just love. But they don't. But they miss the point. It's not saying that you shouldn't have all the other things and do all the other things. He's saying just get your priorities right. Start with love as a foundation. Always have it in your life. And then move out from there in these gifts. Because they're awesome, they're powerful. And when you move into 1 Corinthians 14, it continues to speak about them and how to use them and how to operate and function and so on. And it speaks about in tongues. It talks about revelations, interpretations and all the rest. But a mystery. Have you been praying for something and it's still not been revealed to you? Praise the Lord.